So, lately I've been thinking about our religion, Unitarian Universalism, and why I cleave to it. I am a UU because of Ralph Waldo Emerson. Well, that's why I became one. And if you haven't read his address to divinity students, some of which I read earlier, you should. It expresses exactly all of my thoughts on what is right and wrong in Christianity and religion in general in the United States. Years ago, when Reverend Roberta Finkelstein was our minister, a bunch of us were working hard to grow this church into something that could sustain itself. I was asked by some guys at work to go out for a beer or something, and I said I couldn't as I had a church meeting that night. And the guy said to me, "Oh yeah, I forgot, you are religious." And I laughed at him and said something like, "Not quite." "Me, religious. Humbug," I felt like saying. That evening, I mentioned that conversation to Reverend Roberta and expressing how funny I thought it was, me, religious. But she didn't laugh. Instead, she looked me straight in the eye and with all ministerial seriousness said something that has stuck with me ever since. "Paul," she said, "you are religious." And until that point, I'd always thought of being religious as practically an insult. You wouldn't catch me falling for the hype and superstition, but Roberta made it sound like a good thing. And we talked a while about it until I guess I finally had to admit to myself, "Damn, Paul, you are religious. Yikes." So what do I mean by religious? Well, I certainly don't mean belonging to something that requires you to leave your brain or your heart at the door. I don't mean hoping for a poor carpenter from the Middle East to rise again and become my king. I don't do kings, just saying, and anyone who thinks Americans would welcome a king, even a real nice one with miracles and things, has another think coming. No, the religious I mean is being intimately involved in something that stimulates my brain, my spiritual yearning, and my human need for community. Years ago, we had a motto in this church, which I believe was coined by Steve Dick, one which I would like to retrieve. It's written on mugs you'll see around that we gave to new members. It said, "Unitarian Universalism, where reason and spirituality converge." To me, that is the essence of what we do here. Many, or dare I say most of us, feel the tug of spirituality, yet also try to mollify that tug with our reasoning. So you've heard this question before in some form or another. Just what the heck are you doing here? What could possibly possess you to leave your Sunday morning coffee and venture to this nondescript little storefront in Sterling? Is it because UU high school students have the highest SAT scores of any religion? Yes, that's true. Is it because of our beautiful marble statuary and stained glass? Is it because you were bored? No, I'll tell you why you were here. You want a religious community that nurtures you and inspires hope that life itself is worth living. But as soon as those words "religious community" are out of my mouth, I feel the proverbial eyes glaze over. The phrase "religious community" gets tossed around a lot. But what is it really to us, to me? Well, let me try. I've come to the conclusion over the years that religious community means many different things to different people. Not a big revelation, probably, but it helps me figure it out. I think it has to do with age, personal or family situation, depth of spiritual interest. I usually take church community for granted, and it takes a special impact event to really focus in on it. This generally has to do with the deaths of loved ones among us and our response to that. We have celebrated a fantastic wedding or two here, but we really rise to the occasion when we help members of UUCS cope with the loss of loved ones. I am never so proud to be a UU as when we celebrate the life of a deceased relative or friend. For those of you who have not attended a UU memorial service, it is a celebration of the life of the person, usually warts and all, and there is at least as much laughing as there is crying, but not much time is spent on the metaphysical. Our response to death, the abyss hanging over the shoulder of each of us, is not ritual, but action. I have to call out kudos to the Cares and Concerns Committee at this point, who commit a lot of time and energy supporting those in need and making the rest of us aware of those needs. That work is the inner working of religious community, the gears that make it work. Scientists believe we all have a God gene. We have evolved that gene for tens of thousands of years. That gene makes us crave religious experience. To a mostly atheistic person like myself, that's good news and bad news. Sure, it probably evolved to keep us from killing and eating each other, but we have it nonetheless. At least because of that physical characteristic, we need religion. So like most here, we want a religious community, but we here also have big caveats. The most important of these is I am not an idiot. Don't preach to me about flying spaghetti monsters or other benevolent beings who preordain our every action and accept our prayers to help my football team beat yours. No one beats my football team. Talk about love in a transcendent experience of awe in the face of love, beauty, and other people, and you are getting close. Talk about how sometimes, just sometimes, when we are together, something there is that comes into this room that is greater than us combined, that conveys us to a communal experience that is more than I can explain. Yes, sort of like, dare I say it, the Holy Spirit that the apostles talked about. So what does that have to do with despair and hope? Well, since I brought up the apostles, let's continue down that path a little bit. I read the Acts of the Apostles, and you know what amazes me? Not the acts themselves or the martyring or even the vague theologies. No, what impresses me is the work they got done. The writer, most assume it's the gospel writer, Luke, blithely mentions apostles starting congregations left and right, Corinth, Jerusalem, Antioch, Damascus, and the list goes on and on. And that was in, I don't know, 20, 30, 40 years. Okay, great, but do you know what it takes to actually start a thriving congregation? Blood, sweat, tears, that's what, and frustration. Many of us here have experienced that. St. Paul's letters to the various Christian outposts were usually written to stop their squabbling. How they started so many congregations in so little time is one of the more fascinating parts of the early church to me. But with all that negativity, why did they continue? Why bother at all? For the same reason we bothered here and persevere here. For hope. But hope for what? You've all heard the story of Pandora's box, and I'll acknowledge there's a controversy of the connection between Pandora and Eve and the ancient penchant for laying the blame for almost everything bad on the first female. But leaving that aside, it is still a cool story. Pandora got curious, opened the box, and all the ills we know came flying out to haunt the world forever. Pandora did manage to close it in time to leave one thing in there. Who knows what that was? Hope. It was the one thing Pandora didn't let out of the box. A fascinating edge to this story, I think. A cruel comment on humanity, perhaps? Humans, you are on your own. Or since hope is still in the box, maybe we need to create our own. This is a good time of year to talk about hope and New Year's resolutions. And what are New Year's resolutions but hopes? Gerard Baker in yesterday's Wall Street Journal wrote, "Resolutions are a little like hope, something else we tend to turn to at the changing of the calendar. Philosophers have debated for centuries whether hope is a virtue or an evil. Since hope suggests uncertainty, is it incompatible with faith? Does hope, in fact, represent the triumph of self-delusion, an unwillingness to face up to brutal realities? Or is hope a necessary condition for progress, a way of motivating us to strive for better? When hope was all that was left in Pandora's box, was that fable meant to inspire us, to tell us that when all else has taken flight from our lives, we will still have hope as the last defense against despair? Or was it intended to torment us, to mock us with the idea that if all we have left is hope, then do we really have anything of value at all?" End quote. stern stuff. He questions whether hope itself is good or evil. Is it a good thing to give people hope to keep them happy, or is it evil? If it's evil, I would argue most religions on earth are evil because we're in the hope business. And it kind of, to me, gets back to the red pill, blue pill quandary in the Matrix movies. To equate that to religion, do you want to see the plain truth of our circumstances where we are responsible for building our own bliss? Or do you want a more comfortable hope? Do you want to believe when a loved one dies she has gone to a better place? Or do you want to work hard to make that better place here? The 6th century BC Greek poet Theognis of Megara wrote something that could easily have been written today. Hope is the only good god remaining among mankind. The others have left and gone to Olympus. I'll repeat. Hope is the only good god remaining today. The others have left and gone to Olympus. So at least Theognis still believed hope was possible. In my view, though, hope is the god we create. Not a false god, but a real hope that things can get better and that we must help make it happen. We UUs are the most highly educated, on average, of any religion. We have the most advanced degrees, etc. And still no one's ever heard of us. But maybe because of that, we are more likely to be conscious of our own mortality, more aware that this is the most likely our only chance to make the earth a place for all peoples to live in harmony and peace. Will that ever happen? Well, creating and sustaining a congregation like this is a step in the right direction. You may not be aware that we now share this space with 2 Spanish-speaking Christian churches and a Muslim school. We go out of our way to accept differences and work for human rights. We are a microcosm here of what can be. We are choosing hope even in the face of the abyss. I argue that today's population in the general Nova area, especially young families, are aching for religious community. More specifically, they are looking for hope that there is more to life than being nasty, brutish, and short. They seek confirmation that others believe, as we do, that the world can really be a better place. They seek spirituality, though, without leaving the rational behind. They want their children to know about other religions. They want their children to explore right and wrong in a safe environment. They have moved on from the idea that a person's race, gender identity, or sexual preference somehow is a defining characteristic of that person. We, old-time UUs, are proud of our inclusion and the strides we have made, but younger folks expect it now in a modern church as a precondition. A marvelous thing, actually, how far we've come as a society and certainly as a church. So what else do they want? What do we want in a religious community? What else is in my definition? Well, one thing I hear over and over, and Ray Jane, if you've heard this, I come to church to be refreshed so I can deal with another week. What they mean, I think, is they need their hope batteries recharged. Our society, and especially the frenetic place we all inhabit, drains those batteries fast. People are tired. They seek rest, too. I say I like to laugh, to cry, and be moved spiritually by a religious service. All of these things are part of what it makes to be a religious community. And not one of these really requires a God, a traditional God. Years ago, I went to a seminar on church growth. The UU minister, Reverend Scott Alexander, a renowned church grower, said, "Growing churches is a simple proposition. Do the religion right, and everything else happens." Sounds easy. Do the religion right, and everything else happens. So I know what he means. When people are having their spiritual needs met, when they are being refreshed at church, they want to reach out and help support this institution. They volunteer their time and talents more easily, and they give more money. Those in leadership are constantly looking for volunteers, as you've probably noticed. Is there anybody here that hasn't been asked to volunteer for something? Trick question. If you raised your hand, you were going to be in trouble. We Novaites value our time and will protect it voraciously, but will spend it unstintingly if it is in support of something important. In the never-ending search for volunteers, I think our efforts should be geared more to making sure we are doing religion right, and then let the volunteering happen. So how do we build a congregation that succors the spiritual needs of our people, welcomes fellow searchers, and grows this beautiful thing until everyone knows that we exist? Well, the church needs your help to define it. Nothing we do here is cast in concrete. We changed a bunch of stuff today just to play around and to fit things in places, and nothing we do is cast in concrete. Unlike any other religion, we can express our religious belief in any way we want. I personally like to add band music to services. I tend towards the pre-1970 music. Luckily, the band, has a much more modern bent on most music. So, and to me, the reason that music is important is it doesn't have to have been written in 1750 to be meaningful to me. I mean, music I grew up with, probably music you grew up with, is meaningful to you, and creates a spiritual resonance. I can't imagine there was another church service in the country that played Hey Bulldog today, or ever. I like the choir music and most times even our hymns. But what moves you in a religious service? What do we do here that leaves you moved spiritually? What things do you love? What do you hate? Let your thoughts be known. Maybe we need to try some radical experimentation in our services. Maybe we need to leave our traditions the heck alone. Don't assume that the people running things know all the answers. They are just like you, people who have come here looking for hope and have pitched in to help get us there. And finally, in the words of the UU Alfred Cole, give them not hell, but hope. That is doing this religion right. I hope you all have a joyous, safe, and prosperous New Year. Amen.